Thank you. And yesterday morning we started a brief series of studies on the book of Ephesians. Of course, when I say a brief study, you better take that with a pinch of salt, because when one gets into the marvelous truth of this book, it's very difficult to be very brief. But I trust you'll go along with us, read the book of Ephesians through. Read it through every week. Read it through every week. Let your mind be saturated with the text, so that as we speak verse by verse, chapter by chapter, your mind will be full of the text. It'll be easier for you to understand, and may I add, be easier for me, so that when we go along, we see what God has for us. Now, yesterday morning, and if I might be allowed to do this again, yesterday morning we were dealing with this book of Ephesians, the revelation of the church, the body of Christ. We found the history of this church in the book of Acts, chapters 19 and 20. Also, it is found in Revelation chapter 2. The Apostle Paul had come down to the city of Ephesus, where Diana, the goddess of love, was worshipped. It was a city that was full of sorceries and magic and miracles and what have you. And it was here where the Lord Jesus Christ's name was magnified, where the word of God grew and multiplied. And you remember, God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. It was greatly commended by God, except for one thing. They had forgotten that first love. So we find that as Christians in Ephesians, Christ, we are in Christ ascended, in Philippians, in Christ satisfied, in Colossians, in Christ complete. The truth is stated in Ephesians, practiced in Philippians, and guarded in Colossians. And in this book, we see the will of a sovereign God. You can't read the book of Ephesians without realizing something of the fact that our salvation begins with God, is continued by God, is going to be finished by God, and he's going to do the whole business according to his good pleasure. In this book, we are seen in eternity past. I want you to see the scope of this book. Take, for example, chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us by Christ Jesus. All created intelligences he is going to make known in eternal ages, the wisdom of God through the church. We see the hand and the will of a sovereign God. To me, this is an astounding thing. As if God were to pull back the shades, the curtains, and allows us to look away back in eternity before the world was ever made. And then he makes us look the other way into the eternity to come and sees his purpose accomplished. And the marvelous thing is that you are a part of that purpose. He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. In the ages to come, he still sees you. Can I say this to you? If God saw you and me in Christ before the foundation of the world, and through eternal ages he's going to show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us by Christ Jesus, way into the future, why should you and I worry about the next 24 hours? You know, it's a strange thing about us Christians. We trust our eternal souls to God, but we can't trust him for our need for the next 24 hours. You say one is intangible and the other is tangible. Not necessarily so. God's word is enough. God has spoken. The word of an eternal sovereign God, full of grace and truth, rich in mercy and great in love. What's he done? He manifests his will in eternity past, and he reveals it to us in the eternity in the future. I repeat it, and in between times he has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The eternal sovereign God, who works all things out after the counsel of his own will, has promised never to leave nor to forsake. So as we enter this book of Ephesians, it's going to be with real anticipation of blessing, of blessing. Now let's go back to the epistle. We've just been speaking of it. Now, if you read the book through, there are only six chapters, you will notice that in the first three chapters, chapters 1, 2, and 3, you have some positive facts which God has accomplished for his people. And I'm giving you three R's, so you'll remember them. In the first chapter, it's a question of redemption. In chapter 2, it's a question of reconciliation. In chapter 3, it's a matter of revelation. So each one starts with an R. You have redemption, reconciliation, revelation. Now that's the first three chapters. It has to do with our position in Christ, some facts, positive facts, which God has accomplished. Now in the last three chapters, especially chapter 4, 1 through chapter 6, verse 9, we have the practical side of it. Our walk in Christ. And God beseeches us to walk worthy of our vocation and walk in Christ. For example, we are to walk in the unity of the Spirit. We are to walk in a new creation. We are to walk in love. We are to walk in light. We are to walk in wisdom. And we are to walk in submission. And after you get through that, from chapter 6, verse 10, to the end, you have our warfare. So I would put it this way, though we have a heavenly position, then it ought to be accomplished by a heavenly walk. And then we have a heavenly warfare. That's what Paul means in chapter 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against wicked spirits in the heavenlies. So forth and so on. Now listen, you have the book of Ephesians. And I would like you to turn with me to the very first chapter of Ephesians, and I would like to read the first three verses. Have you got your Bibles? And may I say, it'd be wonderful if you could read the book of Ephesians through and enjoy it with us as we day by day seek to know its content and the revelation which God has given to us concerning the church. Let me read the first three verses. The third verse I will pick up again, but especially our position in Christ, the first three chapters. And now notice the first two verses of the first chapter, the introduction. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is an apostle by the will of God. Now, you remember in the book of Romans, the very first chapter, Paul starts that book by saying, Paul, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, called an apostle. But you notice how he puts it here. Paul says he's an apostle by the will of God. You see, the will of God has a great place in this epistle. The sovereign will of a sovereign God is very prominent in this epistle. Now in the book of Galatians chapter 1, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he writes a little more in detail concerning his call as an apostle. He was called by a risen Christ. And he's called to the will of God. It's an amazing thing, this. His command and his authority is from God. In fact, I would say that his message to us is dependent upon the authority as an apostle. If he's not a real apostle of the risen Son of God, then his message has no authority. But because he has been called to be an apostle by a risen Savior, and by the will of God, then what he has to say is very, very, very important. In other words, the message he brings is dependent upon his apostleship. And being an apostle by the will of God, he speaks with authority. And then in verse 2, you remember he is writing to all the saints of God, that takes you and me in, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing that the source of all blessing is from the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I repeat it, the source of all blessing comes from the Father and the Son. And how does he start it? Grace be unto you and peace. As I have said so often, peace is always the resultant of grace. Where there is no grace, there is no peace. And under the wonderful grace of God, we have been brought into a relationship with the Son of God and can enjoy peace. So you have here in the very introduction to the epistle, we are immediately ushered into the presence of God the Father and God the Son. And he reveals to us in the rest, especially these first three chapters, the sovereign will of a sovereign God. In his grace, not only in the peace he gives, but may we revel continually in the person of God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. And I would again plead with you to read the book of Ephesians through before tomorrow morning. And may the blessing of a sovereign God, of a living God, be your portion today for his name's sake.